Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
We're in the last message today and called Heaven, Hell, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now, we preached on heaven the first week, hell the second week, Holy Ghost. We covered tongues and we told you tongues is good, it's great, but you ain't no second class citizen if you don't speak in tongues. It is Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven. Amen. But we do believe in it. It is a spiritual gift. It's nothing to be scared of. And then last week we talked on it again. And then this week I want to finish with the third part on the Holy Spirit itself. Now, again, heaven, hell, and the Holy Ghost. Our desire, God's desire, is for you to have two out of those three. He wants you to have heaven. And while you're alive on planet Earth, he wants and needs you to be filled with his Holy Spirit. He does not want you to have hell. He doesn't want you to have hell for eternity, and he doesn't want you to put up with hell while you're on earth. And the way you do that, you get your eternity secured through Jesus, and then you live down here by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. And so I just want to go ahead. We're kind of be a little note heavy today, so if you just want to take some pictures of the screens or whatever, and y'all do know that all the notes are on our social media, Facebook and YouTube, with the message, and that it coincides with that. All the notes will also be there. But go ahead and put the first note up. Number one thing you need to understand is the devil does not want you saved. Amen. He does not want you surrendering your life to Christ. He does not want you to believe in Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior and give your life to Christ. He'll do everything he can to keep you from that. However, if you obtain that, if you just tell that sucker to hit the road and you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, he lost your salvation. The devil lost it. He didn't want you to have it, but he lost. You got saved. Amen. Amen. How many are you saved? How many are still happy about it? Yeah. But after you get saved, even though he may have lost your eternal battle, he's still going to fight with you while you're down here talking about the devil. He don't want you to enjoy your salvation. He does not want the joy of the Lord to be your strength. He wants you to be a mad Christian, a sad Christian, a depressed Christian, a sinning Christian, a compromised Christian. He's going to jack with your salvation if you let him. And he's very good at what he does, but my God is better. Amen. I can be the happy Christian. I can be the prosperous Christian. I can be the anointed man of God. Amen. But we get to choose. We get to choose what kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of saved man and woman of God do you want to be? Powerful or pitiful? Come on now. Amen. Now see, if thing about it is, if Satan can get you to not accept Christ, he's got you. And even after you accept Christ, if he can still get you in that bad Christian mode, that you're not representing God, you're actually hindering a move of God as a Christian. See, if he can get you, you will help him get others. That's why he fights the church so hard. That's why some of these seats are empty this morning. Because if he can get you, you won't fill these seats up. Boy, it got quiet in here. Three things the devil hates. Or excuse me, let me just say this. Three things the devil loves. Number one, the devil, first and foremost, is all about himself. He's the epitome of what a narcissist is. Yes. He's all about him and his wants and his desires and his ways, and there is no other way but his way. So he perfectly loves himself, and he loves anything. Number two, he loves anything that will destroy your faith. Yes. And he's the author of that thing that destroys your faith sometimes. It's not God, it's the enemy. Satan loves himself. He loves anything that will destroy your walk with God or keep you from God. And then the third thing is, he loves the fact that without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell with him. He's in love with those ideas. He loves you to be lost. If you get saved, he don't want you to enjoy it. He wants to destroy the joy of your Lord. And then at the end, he loves the fact that if you haven't got Christ, you get to spend eternity in hell with him. That's what he loves. But God loves the opposite. Amen? Amen? Now, our life group the other night went to see a movie called The Forge. Anybody seen the movie The Forge? I don't do a lot of recommendations, but I will tell you, I will recommend that every man and boy go see that movie. Old men and young men. Now, women, you can go too, because we may need somebody to make us a sandwich. Just kidding. Women, you will enjoy that movie immensely because it's what you're looking for. Men, you need that movie in your life. And I will say this, as soon as they release it publicly, it will be shown either here or we'll take it across the road and do a movie in a park with it. Amen? Just as soon as they release it, it's coming here. Amen. It is that important. But while I was at that movie, and it was just a quick line, and I got it, and I'm like, man, you're going to hear that because it kind of ties in with what we're talking about. And the quote is this, go ahead and put it up, from the movie. It said this right here, whoever wants the next generation the most will get them. Absolutely. Yes. Let that hit you this morning, church. Whoever wants the next generation the most is going to get them. If we, the church, want to raise up the next generation in God-fearing, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, then that's what that next generation will get. But if the enemy wants them more than church wants them, they'll come up in poverty, divorce, broken homes, confusion, gender, all this mess will be more prevalent than it is now. Because they don't know what they want. But they're going to be brought up into something. And when we sit back and we hand our kids and these next generations over to the world system to raise them more than we bring them to church, then we get what we get. Wow. So that's enough about that. So let me go on and get into the message today. Go ahead and put up the next note. I want you to know about this, about the devil. No, go the first one before that. Should be a note before that. There you go. Satan absolutely will contend for your salvation and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And as I was praying a couple of weeks ago into this fifth part of this message, that word contend just kept coming up as I was praying. Contend, contend. And I'm like, Lord, I am contending. And he says, yes, you are, and that's good, but Satan's also contending. And I'm like, well, let me look up the word. So now go ahead and put it up. Contend means this. It means to oppose. It means to challenge. It means to argue. Everybody say argue. Argue. That's going to be very important from here on out. Everybody say argue. Argue. Anybody ever here not ever had an argument? You've never had an argument, raise your hand. If you're married, raise your hand. You've had an argument. If you've been married long. It means to compete, and it means to assert. That's what the word contend means. Everybody say contend. Now, if you go to the book of Jude, now let me just say this. Jude is one chapter only. It's not two chapters. So you can call out Jude like Jude 3 will be Jude verse 3. Because there ain't no, or you can say Jude 1, 3. There's only one chapter. It doesn't matter. But in the book of Jude, if you call it the chapter, verse 3, okay? He says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, so it was common people got saved, amen? He says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to what? Contend earnestly, not just a little. The word earnestly there means with a whole bunch. Don't just do a light contention. You're going to have to contend with some sweat and tears. And probably a little blood. Contend, everybody say contend. Amen. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. So that means once you get saved, you got to contend for it. Amen? It's not just skip through the tulips every day. I wished it was. And it'll be that way when we get to heaven, but we're still confined to an earth that needs men and women of God to step in and contend for our faith. Because it is being contended against by people, by our own government, by politicians, by social media. Everything you see is going against the Word of God.
Amen.
Everywhere, schools, workplace, entertainment, everything against the Word of God. Why is that? Because the powers of darkness can't stand the power of light. I won't go much more into that. But then he goes on in Jude verse 4 and says this, I say this because, now watch this, some ungodly people have wormed their way into the churches. Just sit there and let that roast on you a minute. Some ungodly people are going to show up into the churches. Now, it's not just sitting out there. It's in the pulpits. It's on the platforms. It's in the different rooms. It's in the different ministries. Some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches saying that, watch this, God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. Just go ahead and be that saved Christian that don't operate with the Spirit leading you. You lead yourself in your own salvation. My friend, if you're leading yourself in your own salvation, you are not saved by Jesus Christ. Because you cannot save yourself. You cannot forgive yourself of your sins anyway. You can forgive yourself for committing them. And you need to forgive yourself, amen? But you don't have the power to wash them away. You got the power to give them away through forgiveness, but you don't have the power to cleanse them. It only comes through the blood of Jesus. So there are people worm their way in, and we see it hugely right now across American churches. It don't matter what you do. God's grace approves of everything. God's grace does not approve and never has approved of sin. Never has and never will. So anybody that takes any kind of platform, any kind of voice and says, sin is now okay, you know that's a false prophet. That is a demonic spirit. You need to rebuke that out of your ears and get away from that.
Amen.
Don't fall into that. You got to contend against that lie. Because that lie is contending for you. It's arguing with you. Come on now. Saying God's marvelous grace wants us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. In other words, they're serving other gods. And other gods, besides our God, is a demonic spirit. That's why you need a Holy Spirit to discern between ungodly spirits and God's true Holy Spirit. Because they can mimic each other, they can look alike, but the end results, one is life, the other is death. And we need to have discernment to know the difference between the truth and the lie. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
So people ask all the time, well, how do we win this battle of arguing and this contention for our faith? And again, one of the main words for contention is the word to argue. How many of you today would say you've come to a point in your life, at some instance, probably several, I have a whole list of them, that you get to make a decision and you literally have an argument in your mind. Because your flesh wants to do something that's not right.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
But your spirit knows better.
Yes.
And so now you're kind of in a dilemma of who you're going to listen to.
Yes.
You know you don't need to, but you sure want to.
Yes.
Now let me tell you something about sin, and I've said this before. Everybody say sin.
Sin.
Bad. But sin to the flesh is absolutely pleasurable for a season and fun.
Yeah.
If sin wasn't fun and pleasurable to the flesh, nobody would want to sin.
Right.
Come on, think about that for a minute. But we know all sin is bad, but yet our flesh likes bad, and it's good for a season. It appeals to our flesh. It appeals to the buzz we want to get or the pleasure we want to feel or the notoriety it brings us. And ooh la la, it ain't that bad. If it's sin, it's bad. But again, if it was bad, so bad you never wanted to do it, you wouldn't have a problem with it. We have a problem is we want to do certain things. And that's where that argument comes in your mind, in your soulish realm. Go ahead, it ain't that bad. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody's doing that. Even Christians, pastors are doing that now. Don't worry about it. pastors are drinking and cussing and cheating on their wives just like everybody else, so it's okay for you to do it. No, it's not. That's where you got to contend. Because what you don't realize is Satan is contending with you. He's arguing with your knowledge of who you are in Christ to try to convince you otherwise, that you're not really that in Christ. And it's okay. You got plenty of time. Don't worry about getting saved. You're young. You got all kind of time. You can get saved, in a few years after you sow your wild oats. The problem is your oat bucket may be empty. And tomorrow could be your day. Don't wait. Amen? Now, here's another marvel thought. Go ahead and put that next note up. Now, watch this. Very careful. All sin starts with a thought.
Yes.
Sin doesn't just happen. It goes right here is the first place it takes heart. In your mind. Now, you can sin very quickly. I'm aware of that. I was very proficient at being, I was Southern. I was a Southern heathen. We're very good at sinning. And we can sin at a drop of a hat. But before I ever sinned, I had the thought to do it first. Because you don't do what you don't think first. Amen? And you can sit there, well, I didn't even think about doing it. I just was here doing it, liar. And if you are to the point where you didn't think about doing it, it's because you thought about doing the thing that doesn't make you think anymore. So the process started way up there when you thought about that first bump or that drink or that shot or that pill would do you good. And now you don't know what you're doing and you're out of your mind. But you had a thought first. So all sin originates between our ears. And there lies the contention for it. Whether we're going to participate or we're going to dominate that thought with God. Come on. So again, everybody say it's in the mind. And I'll even go so far as this. In our mind, we have arguments. And in our mind, when it's a sin that is pleasurable and we want to do it again, if we wouldn't do it if it wasn't pleasurable at some point to us, we will even begin, see if you've ever done this, to imagine it before you do it. Come on. How many's ever imagined something before you've done it, good or bad? That's a thought process. Again, all sin originates in the mind. All godliness originates to do good is in the mind also. So your mind is, your soulish realm is determining where you're going to go. Now, it's either going to listen to the soulish realm, your body will listen to the soul or the spirit, whichever one speaks the loudest.
That's right.
Because your body's just dumb. Come on, my body is dumb. Your body is dumb. My body, I can go out here this afternoon, stop by the liquor store, run by the drug dealer, swing down and pick up a prostitute. If I tell my body to do that, my body will go do it. It don't care. It just takes instructions. My body also, if my spirit tells it, go home and spend some quality time with your wife, get in the Word of God, turn on some worship music. You know what my body will do? Let's go. That's right. Go to the movies. Go see The Forge this afternoon. My body will go. Your body's dumb. It's your soul and your spirit. And your spirit's supposed to be controlled by what kind of spirit? A holy spirit that represents God's character, will, and attributes right out of your body. Not the unholy things. But that's where you get those arguments and you get those imaginations. Everybody say imaginations. Those are powerful, aren't they? Because some sin, you can imagine it. And you can see her or him, or you can see that bottle or that drug or that porn, and it's like, whoa, I can imagine. I can't wait till I get home. And you're already imagining, you're plotting the way you're going to sin. Don't shout me down. Now listen, after this series, I'm going to be a little sweeter. But this needs to be preached.
Amen.
Amen? So all sin starts with a thought. So what's the answer to it? It's the same answer as I told you in week 1, 2, and 3. The answer to everything you've got and everything you'll ever face is know the Word of God.
Amen.
Touch your neighbor and say, know the Bible.
Come on,
say, know it well.
Know it well.
Why? Because this guides you in everything you do. This settles all the arguments between good and evil. This settles all the arguments between sin and righteousness. There is no argument in this book, and that's why most people don't want to read it. Because when you read it, you have to get rid of your argument. You have to get rid of your self-justification. You have to get rid of your compromise. Because when you read the Bible, it's plain. It's very plain and very simple to understand. Amen? And a matter of fact, the Bible describes somebody as our helper and teacher. Do y'all know who that somebody is that the Bible in the New Testament describes that God's going to send us to where it will teach us, it will help us and comfort us? Do y'all remember who that was? It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit of God. He's your comforter. He's your guide. He's your helper. He's your teacher. He actually is your first pastor. I'm secondary. I am. I need. You better have every pastor in the world as a backseat to your first pastor, which is God, the Holy Spirit. Well, that's his role in the earth, is to guide us and to give us his word. And that's why you depend on the Holy Spirit. And that's why you find a spirit-filled church. Come on. Are y'all okay? All right, let's move on in. So let me get to the scriptures real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. Now watch this. For though we walk in the what?
Flesh.
That's your soulish realm. That's your mind, will, and emotions. Your carnality, your flesh, your conscience, your heart. All that's wrapped up there. For we walk in that, and we do. That's part of our life. We walk in the flesh. Look in there. We don't war according to our flesh. But most of us, this is biblical advice to Christians. That's why he gives this word, is because most of us do war in our flesh. We have those arguments. We have those imaginations. And then we have to decide what we're going to tell our body to do. And our body's dumb enough to do the good or the bad. Amen? All right. So now, watch this next verse, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, and it is warfare, by the way, are not carnal. In other words, they really don't even belong in our soulish realm. Because in our soulish realm is where Satan will argue, throw imaginations, give you a Kodak moment, show you the sin without all the problems it brings. It says don't even entertain evil in your soulish realm. Take all that argument and put it right into the Holy Spirit of God inside you. It'll be solved real quickly. So now watch this. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God. Mighty in who?
God.
Mighty in God. For what? The pulling down of what? Strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. Strongholds. What is a stronghold? Dear God, put it up. It's the shabba-baba-baba there. A stronghold is a fortification, a wall of a city. In other words, like they used to have a walled city. It's a fortress. It's used metaphorically, watch this now, of any strong points or arguments in which one trusts. In other words, you started trusting the argument the enemy gave you at some point. I think we've all done that. I've done that. I've trusted in some of the arguments the enemies give because they sounded good to my flesh. Because it was going to be pleasing if I could talk myself and justify myself to do those things. I've told you the story of one Sunday, we got a call to go canoeing. Yeah. Amen? The call came in for me and my wife to go. We didn't have kids. Y'all go canoeing with us. This is Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. We go to church. It ain't going to hurt you to miss a Sunday. Y'all go all the time. And that argument stuck. You know, it's not going to hurt me to miss God's house. It's Sunday. I mean, I deserve a weekend off. I've been working my regular, I had a regular job and everything back then, working right at around 50 hours a week. It ain't going to hurt us. It's just one Sunday. And y'all know, I ain't going to tell you that. Took the story. The canoe fell off my car, ripped my bumper thing right off the back of my car. The guy that tied it around the exhaust, and it burnt a rope into, and I'm going down the road to the canoe place, and my canoe lifts off my car, goes backward, rips my luggage rack off my little Sunbird, and the canoe was parked, stopped in a church parking lot during their service. And I had to go sneak into their parking lot, dig the canoe out of their parking lot, reattach it, and then I get there, and then one of the canoes sinks with our people in it. I sprained my ankle trying to rescue a guy. It was a horror. I didn't fall for that argument ever again. Go ahead, miss this Sunday. It's okay. You deserve it. Nope. Not only do I not deserve that, I can't afford that. Physically, mentally, or spiritually. But those are those arguments that'll come. And if you argue with them in your flesh is going to always say, let's go do that. It's fun. Because canoeing is fun to me. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, just not during church now. Go after church, go before church, just never again. But a stronghold is an argument in which you now trust. And it should go on out. This is my version. This is Strong's Concordance here. It should go out in which you now trust more than the Spirit of God. That's really what it's saying. Satan's won an argument where you trust that now more than what you know the Word of God says. And it's another word for compromise. Now watch this. We're going to move on. So the question is, what arguments have you allowed to come build some walls up in your world? Because if you've got arguments and they've built walls around an ideology that doesn't line up with God's Word, you built a compromise where you're continuing that circle of life with that compromise, those are walls that need to come down. But they will only come down through the power of the Holy Spirit directing you in the Word of God to bring them down.
Yep. Amen.
You understand that? And the Holy Spirit's only ever going to... See, you can read the Word without the Holy Spirit, and that's why your walls don't come down. It's when you read with the power of the Holy Spirit and let Him teach you what it really means, and then you operate it through that spirit man inside of you, that's when the walls come down.
Yeah.
The truth sets you free, but it's the truth you activate that sets you free.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people know the truth, but they don't ever activate it.
Yeah.
And you can only activate it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
All right, real quickly. Now, here's where I wanted to get to. Verse 5. Casting down what?
Argument.
Here it is again. Casting down contention, because the word for contention is arguments. Casting down arguments. Another translation, I believe it's the King James 1611 version, says casting down imaginations. But most translations translate it as arguments. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself, watch this, against the knowledge of God. Now let me tell you something you may not understand. Lost people still have a knowledge of God. Even lost people, they can claim they're atheist, they can claim they're agnostic, they can claim whatever they want, Satanist, whatever, but they know they live in a world that was created by God. They may not ever confess it, they might not even believe it in their own self, in their but in their subconscious, they know there's a God. Everything born, Bible says creation lets you know there's a God. Amen? So you know sitting here today there's a real God, no doubt. And you've got some knowledge of Him. And even not being saved, you have a moral compass put in you by God that this is wrong. Murder is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Rape is wrong. Lying, stealing, cheating is wrong. Not growing in Christ is a sin. Let me say that one again. Not growing in your relationship with Christ is a sin. How many thinks it would be good for every Christian to grow in their relationship with Christ? That would be a good thing. Raise your hand. Seriously, everybody participate. If you think it would be good, just in your knowledge, you may not even be saved, but it would be good for Christians to grow in their knowledge and wisdom of God, His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, why do I say then it can be a sin? Because the Bible says to those who know to do good and do not do it, it is a sin. That's straight out of the Bible. When you know you're supposed to be growing as a Christian, but you're too lazy, you're too apathetic, you just think you're going to cruise on in and not grow in this earth and not affect and not make a difference, then you, even as a Christian, you're in sin. Study the Word of God that you may show yourself approved. Would it be good if every Christian studied the Word of God? Yes. If you're not studying the Word of God, you're in sin. And most of us are living in sin. But you're never going to overcome that sin until you get a commitment to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because again, let me remind you from last week, in case you wasn't here, God the Father is sitting on the throne in heaven. He's in one place. God the Son is seated at the Father's right hand, waiting on one time when He looks and says, "Son, now go get my children." He is seated at the Father's right hand. The active ingredient from the triune God, God, the Holy Spirit, is what's available in the earth.
Amen.
It's available. He's not going to make you take it, and he'll only give as much of Himself as you will receive.
Yeah.
But you can have all of Him. Turn to your neighbors, you can have all you want. And we like them all. You can eat buffets. You can tell. But cast down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now watch this. Bring every thought, your mind, bring everything that comes into your mind into captivity. Everybody say captivity.
Captivity.
To the obedience.
Yes.
Now I could park there and preach for an hour just on this. I know the Word of God. What good does that do if you're not obeying it? we've done determined, all of us know that as Christians, we should be growing in our faith, we should be studying our Bibles, we should be connected to the house of God, we should be serving. We know all that, but we don't do it, even as Christians sometimes. Why? Because we believe the argument we've received from the evil one, the devil, demons, over the freedom of the Bible, the Word of God. Y'all okay? Okay. Every thought's got to be captive, but you can't just put it in a captive. You got to be obedient. And obedience doesn't begin until it's something you don't want to do. Woo! It's not obedience as long as you're justifying it and you want to do it. It would not be obedient if somebody said, here, go down here and get to pick you out a brand new pickup truck. I'm going to struggle to obey that. I just don't know if I can. Yeah, I'm going to obey. That's not obedience. That's yay. But what if somebody said, give your truck? Now we're going to see if you're obedient. But everybody say, cast down arguments. Everybody say arguments. Go ahead and put up that word for argument. The Greek word for argument here means to deliberate. In a sense of device, counsel, senselessness, folly. In other words, the argument that you're believing is stupid. You want to know why the argument of the enemy is stupid? Because it always goes against God's word, who is all knowledge, power, and wisdom. It's senseless. It's folly that you're falling for. It's taking you down a path of destruction. Well, I'm saved and I'm still going to go to heaven. But your life on earth is supposed to mean something for the kingdom of God while you're here. Amen. You're supposed to be a witness. You're supposed to make an impact in the earth and in your sphere of influence that you're a child of God. At school, at work, in town, everywhere you go, you're supposed to act like Christ. I always tell people, nobody gets saved to be an undercover Christian. I got saved, but nobody's supposed to know. That's not in the Bible. Amen? Matter of fact, 2/3 of God's word spells go, G-O. You can't spell God without go. Y'all okay? So let's go on. I got to close. I told you I wouldn't try to be as quiet as late this week. Now look at the next verse in verse 6. So you get into obedience, and then it says, and be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Are y'all getting that? This is the reason a lot of Christians struggle, because when we're not walking in obedience to God and His Word and His commands, we're trying to fight a devil that we ain't got the authority to fight yet. Now, the authority's in there, but you've not activated it. You think you activate it by quoting scriptures. You think you activate it by out shouting your neighbor or something. You think you activate it maybe by doing good stuff, and all that's good. But here's how you activate authority with God. It's through your obedience. See, you want the enemy to be obedient to you. Oh, enemy, I bind you off my finances. I bind you off my health. But your obedience to fulfill God and to not compromise is not being fulfilled in your own life. Let's read that word of God again. And be ready to punish, and you have the right to punish sin in your life. You have the right to punish the lie and the liar. Punish all disobedience, but it's when your obedience is fulfilled. Thank you, I'll be here all week. This is not popular preaching, I know. But do you see the word of God? Is that, yeah, it's on the screens. You get to punish disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And again, obedience doesn't even begin until it's something you don't want to do. Everybody say punish. Here's the Greek word for punish. It means you get to avenge. Woo! To execute justice. It means bring out my right or just so that the accusation of my adversary may not stand against me. I love that. Amen. And then look at the last thing I found about this word punish. It means to forgive. Yeah. Do you know when you forgive someone and they don't receive it and it tears them up? That's a form of punishment to them. Yeah. Woo! They want to get under your crawl, but you've released it to the blood, and they see you walking in freedom, and you're living your life, and you run into them, and you're like, hey, how you doing? Why aren't you mad still? I did this to you. I want you to be mad.
Yes.
They can't stand it when you walk in your joy of the Lord and strength, and they've done something to offend you or done something to abuse you or whatever, got that hanging over you, and you walking like it's just a walk in the park now about it. That's what freedom does. Freedom punishes the offender. Yeah, you can give a little golf clap there if you like. It's just God and His Word. Don't go. Make sure you just don't get too charismatic in here. Keep your Jesus real cool and calm. Thank you, Jesus. We like church quiet and sweet. But the enemy's loud and like a roaring lion. That's why Satan's message is out doing the church. He's out there roaring like a lion, and he's a worm. We got the true lion of the tribe of Judah in us, and we sitting over here quiet as a mouse. Yeah! Satan will always bring in his argument condemnation. He will not show you condemnation in the beginning. He'll show you the pleasure and the fun. But Satan's end result is condemnation to you. Condemnation to your name's worth, condemnation to your values, condemnation to your morals, condemnation to your witness. Because when he tricks you with these arguments and you do these things, I know we live in a time when you don't think, but when you do things that don't honor God, it hurts your witness.
Amen.
The Bible says bitter and sweet water cannot come out of the mouth. What do we have to do with sin and darkness and light? You can't do it at the same. It matters how you live as a child of God. But he won't show you that in the beginning. He'll show you the compromise to get you to the condemnation. So Satan offers condemnation. Here's what the Holy Ghost offers: conviction. Two totally different things. What is conviction? Isn't conviction when you've... Well, let me just read you something. Let's go to the Word of God. Jesus' words himself in John chapter 3, verse 17, right after John 3, 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son Jesus into the world to what? Yeah. To condemn the world. But that the world might be saved.
Yeah.
Through him.
Yeah.
Through Jesus, who didn't even come to... If anybody could bring condemnation to people when he came to earth, it was Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
He had the right, he had the authority, and he'd have been justified to condemn us all and just send us straight to hell. But he says, I didn't come to do that. I come to do the work of my Father, not bring condemnation, but bring conviction of the Holy Spirit into your life where you will know right from wrong. You'll choose God and you'll go to heaven now. It's an amazing plan. You're to get aboard. The word condemn means this right here in the Greek. It means to pass judgment on. Jesus didn't come to pass judgment while he was on earth. He will judge you at the great judgment throne because you're now in his realm and you've made your choice. And you're going to be stuck with your choice for all eternity. Okay? But he didn't come into the earthly realm to bring judgment. He came to bring an escape from the judgment. Thank you, Jesus. Real quickly, two more verses. Come on. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8. The words of Jesus. Somebody say the words of Jesus. Written in red right here again. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Everybody say, Jesus is telling the truth here. Because that's all he knows how to tell. He says, I tell you the truth. Now watch this. It is to your advantage that I go away. This sounds ludicrous. Jesus, we had you here. You're the Son of God. What could be better than having you right here with us? But yet Jesus says, it's better if I go away. Why? Because Jesus in human form could only be in one place at one time. Jesus was limited in his human form to a human body. Okay? He's all powerful. He's all God. He can call things down, but he can't do it because he's there to serve the Father's will. I'm telling you, you better be glad I wasn't Jesus. I'd have killed them all. You come at me with that cat of nine tails. When I heard that thing first went, they probably popped it a few times before they give him the first lash. You pop that thing one time, you coming at me, I'm striking you dead. Dead. Come on, you would too. And I'd probably kill your family too. He didn't come into me like that. But he didn't come to do his own will. If he'd have been in the flesh, that's what he would have done. But he operated by the Spirit. And he came as a man to do that, to show us it can be done in the earthly realm. I ain't got time to go into that, but that's deep. Watch it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I, Jesus, go away. Now watch this. For if I, Jesus, do not go away, the Helper, which if you don't know who the Helper is the Holy Spirit. It's the third part of God, and it's the only part available to us down in the earth. Now we pray to Jesus, he hears us, he's in heaven, but it's the Holy Spirit. Him, he, the Holy Spirit, is the active ingredient of the triune God in the earthly realm. And we act like we're scared of him. Come on, we act like we're scared of part of God. We like the other two, but not you, Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, and he did, I, Jesus, will send him to you. This gift didn't come from somebody over here that's kooky and cracky. This gift of the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. The same person that gives you your salvation, that died for you to live forever in eternity, died for you to have and give to you, present to you his Holy Spirit. Are you seeing this in his words? The Helper will not come, but if I depart, I, Jesus, am going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Look at this next verse. And when he, again, he, not an it, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Pastor, the Prophet, when this Holy Spirit has come, he, that Holy Spirit, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment. So the Holy Spirit's main job is to convict you. And that is a beautiful thing. I used to hate conviction because it made me feel bad. It made me deal with my sin issues and my shortcomings and my failures. And I didn't like it till I learned what it really was. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is God's love being poured out on me. That's the Holy Spirit letting me know I love you too much to let you walk down this path of destruction, young man. I love you too much to let you know that's not good for you. It's not going to produce what you think it is. It's going to be good for your flesh for a season, but the end of it is death. It's conviction is God's love. It brings correction and reproof and rebuke to the what? To the argument, the imaginations, and the lies of the devil. How many of you want to be smarter than the devil? We do. I hope we all want to be smarter than the devil. But you're not until you get a conviction of the Holy Spirit. You'll fall for the lies every time because he's a master deceptionist. So put up the word for conviction. Conviction means to show to be wrong. Oh, God, we don't like that no more. You can't tell me I'm wrong. If I say I'm right, I'm right. Nope, if it's wrong, it's wrong. That's you, me, everybody. I don't care how somebody has told you it's okay, what professor told you it's all right, what pastor told you sin was okay now. If the Bible calls it sin and wrong, honey, it's sin and wrong, and your opinion don't matter. Don't matter. It's wrong. To show to be wrong, to reprove you, to rebuke, to prove one is in wrong. Now watch this. And thus to shame him. One of the biggest problems we have right now in the church and in our nation is there is no more shame. We're not ashamed of our sin. We flaunt our sin, as a matter of fact, blatantly before God and the world. And look what I do. Yeah, I'm standing against God. And I don't know when I'll do it, but I'm going to show some videos and some pictures here, but they're so grotesque. It's one of the reasons I don't do it. Of people blatantly throwing sin at Christians' faces. Where people go to rallies and try to present Jesus to atheists and Satanists and at these LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ alphabet crews. And they try to give them the gospel, and they are so demonically possessed, they begin to talk about Jesus like he's, oh my gosh. It's just, but you know what? God still loves them, and he wants them to have the truth. We still love them, and we want them to have the truth. But we're not going to be intimidated and back down from the truth. Can I have a better amen there? We're not going to fall for that deception. If you were born a male, I'm going to call you a man. Well, I identify as this. Well, you can, but I don't. I'm not going to come into your deception. I love you, but I'm not going to come into your deception. And I'll try my best to honor you, but I'm going to call you as what God made you. Because you're not God to change it. Okay. See if you can follow this. This is what the Holy Spirit, I was praying and the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, that he says he come to shame. And the Holy Spirit began to reveal to me that they're lashing out because they want to cloak their shame. They lash out and even get more sinful because that's a way to medicate, self-medicate, and cloak their shame. So let me just tell you this. Write this down if you want to. This is one of those kind of the thus saith the word moment. Shame is nothing more than a cloak for them to operate pride. Because what do? They're out there. They're proud of their sin. What do we even call the month where they celebrate? Pride month. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Pride month. Pride goeth before destruction. I don't want to see them destroyed. I want to see them come to the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus wants to see them come. Come on now. But shame can cloak itself in pride. Because where they're that prideful, there's a shame they're feeling, but they have to cover it up and self-justify because they believe the argument, and now they're just living out of a false imagination. Whew. Amen? Stand to your feet. You need the Holy Spirit. And you can have as much as you want. There's no limit. You can have as much of it as you want. There's no limit. If you need more patience, Holy Spirit's got it. You need more wisdom? It's through the Holy Spirit and His Word. You need more understanding? Here's what people say. Well, that's just the way I am. That's just kind of my attitude. Well, if your attitude don't line up with the Holy Spirit, I'd get a new attitude. I'd ask God to begin to work on my attitude. If you're introvert, extrovert, whichever way you are, work on some of that. God didn't create you in either one of those. God created you perfectly. It's the world that comes in and messes us up. But it's only the world we agree with and allow in. And you may be sitting here today and in that lie, that argument, I'm not good enough to get saved. I'm not good enough to live a holy life. I'm not good enough for the Holy Spirit to come in. Let me leave you with this one verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we, I'm going to say me and you, while me and you were still sinners, still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He knew I was going to sin, and He died for me anyway. He knew even after I got saved I was going to mess up some, but He still called me anyway. It's not about you being perfect. It's about you surrendering to the perfect man of God, Jesus Christ. So bow your heads with me. If you're here this morning and that argument's been on you, and I understand, I think all of us had that argument before we got saved or even after we got saved to be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to operate in some of the gifts and seek them. But you're here today, I want to deal first with salvation. You're here, and that argument's probably going on in your mind right now. Oh, just get out of here. It'll be all right today. You go on. Not today. And Pastor Austin, why not here? Why not now? There's no more excuses. You can have them, and right now they're running through your mind, excuses of why. But I just read you a verse that destroys all that. He knows you're a sinner. He knows you're not worthy. That's why you can't save yourself. That's why He sent Jesus to die for you. And today I'm telling you by the word of God, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe with your mouth, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Receive Him into your life, ask forgiveness for your sins, repent, and turn to Jesus, and you will be saved. And then you'll start living it. And if you've never been saved, in a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. You will not be joining a church today, and you will not be coming certain religion. We offer you the King that died for you. and to begin your walk with Jesus Christ and ask Him to fill you with your Holy Spirit of salvation. And if that's you today with no strings attached, just lift your hands and say, today's my day to be saved in the house of God. Anybody? All right, maybe online. Now, the second thing is, once we get saved, Satan don't want us to be joyful as Christians. He don't want us to make an impact. He wants to mess with us. And some of you have allowed that. I've allowed that in my life at times. You were not designed for that. You're designed to carry the glory of God. Some of you have operated in spiritual gifts. Some of you have prophesied. Some of you have had the gift of giving and you quit. Not just in tithes, offering, but giving to help neighbors out, giving here. You had a giving heart. And something's come in and it's robbed that joy and you've cut back from sharing or loaning something to somebody and you become stingy. Some of you in here, you've got a prayer language and you haven't prayed in the Spirit in months or weeks. You've let things go dormant because life's got on you. It's been tough. The enemy's brought up arguments. You're not worthy enough to continue to do that. But you know it was real. That's the first thing he's going to tell you. You know that wasn't real. That's not you. That's not God in you praying. But I want to tell you to rekindle everything God gave you. Restart a fire today. Pour some gas on it, as a matter of fact. Because life's too short for us to sit back and make life all about us when Jesus made everything about everybody. So if that's you this morning, say, Lord, I need to pour some on. Come on, just lift your hand up. Lord, I want to begin to walk with you in a fresh. I've backed off from reading the word. I've backed off some of my prayer. I've backed off some of my time just enjoying worship music sometimes. And we all get under stress and things out of your life, and these are some of the first things that goes. You're not coming in contact. That's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's God's love telling you, I love you too much not to spend any money. I want to spend more time with you, he says. So, Father, you've seen the hands and you've seen the hearts. And, Lord, we just want to come and say more of you all over all of us. Lord, we want to live in our maximum potential while we're on earth for this short time, God. And, Lord, we want the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which is your love. If you didn't love us, you would just let us go to hell. But you love us too much to let us go to hell. It's a free gift when we call on it. And you declared yourself, it's better that you've left, because the Holy Spirit now of God can hover the whole earth. And the Holy Spirit knows no limits of a bounds of a human body. It can be in me. It can be in you. It's over our homes. It goes with us wherever we go. Woo, that's an awesome God that loves you enough to do that. Sends you the Holy Spirit that can go all over everywhere at the same time with everybody. Thank you. Only God can do that, guys. Think about that. All of God all over the world right now. Do you realize this morning there are people being filled with the Spirit of God right now? There are people getting saved right now all over the world. Yesterday, some time zones are different. Yesterday, today, even this evening when other time zones come, there's going to be people who healed and set free and delivered. All because of it's the same God. And he's not a better God in China or Pakistan than he is right here in Eva, Alabama. It's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. And all you got to do is reach up and grab. So I pray to God that you'll just take hold. And what you've had before, you rekindle and expect to get more. And bring everything into obedience. If I leave you with one thing today, church, get into your obedience. It may not feel good for a season, but it's better to obey than to burn. So, Father, I bless this word to be received in the name of Jesus. I bless spiritual gifts and operations in people's lives that they've been in before to rekindle a fire in them, Father God. And not something that gets them to the level they were, but it takes them into a new dimension of revelation of who you are, Father. Let it be evidence, God, through their life. Everybody say, all for the glory of Jesus. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. I love you, Lord. And I bless your name. Give me something to do great today. For your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Yeah.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.